Amen, and you can be seated. I like that last verse, when shall I reach that happy place? Amen. It is the happy place. So I've decided just go ahead and be happy till I get there. Amen. And it's funny, we all those times we took our senior trip to Disney and down in Orlando, and of course I'd gone there several times before that, and they say it's the happiest place in all the world or something like that, and we watch people with their three-year-olds, and I question whether it is the happiest place. I have never seen so many unhappy people as I have when it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon after they've spent a whole day in the happiest place. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. We know where it's going to be a much, much happier place. Well, you have lesson number 37. We're not there yet. Somebody had, in fact, two folks, totally different conversations, have already stated when I said that that is the last lesson for the Revelation class. They said, well, we'll be done in about a year then. That hurts me a little bit, but actually it is pretty much true, and sometimes truth does hurt. But we have done quite a study. How many of you have actually been through the whole Revelation study? Raise your hand if you, okay, so most of you actually have. And it's been a good study. It has been very in-depth, but yet it could have been so, I mean, seriously, it could be the only thing we teach on all the time. It's just that deep and can be. So we are still on lesson 36, though. And not finished with it by any means. So we go back to Revelation 20 and verse 11, and that is our memory verse. So I do think I will finish lesson 36 today. Well, maybe. Maybe not. It just depends. You know, sometimes things become preaching points when I just look out and I see, you know, maybe a response, or, and it just, you know, the Holy Spirit says they need more. So anyway, we'll go ahead and say our memory verse again, and we'll say the reference, then the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20:11, and again. Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20:11. Father, we thank you again for the word of God. We thank you that you show us the beginning and you show us the end. And really, both the beginning and the end begin with eternity. And our minds can't fathom that, but yet we believe you. And we know that you occupy eternity. And that one of these days we will occupy the end of eternity, which there is no end, but the other side of it, I guess. And Father, it's exciting to think about eternal life. And exciting to think about eternal life in heaven, the new heaven, and yet we have so much to do here. And so I pray you'll guide us, direct us, give us what we need today from our class time. There are many needs represented here, and you know each one, you know our hearts. So meet our needs today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking back as this is the lesson 37 is the last. I wish it would have been lesson 36, so it would have been divisible by 12, you know, just because. Or if I could have come up with, you know, a lesson divisible by 7 or anyway. But the point is, it is, you know, I was writing that and putting it all down, and I was thinking back that it was, and I could get a close date. Does anybody know when I started this? Somebody did at one time, but I don't remember. I know I can find out. Anybody know? I'm thinking it's 3 years ago, and I can find that out. But I wrote the outline as far as the seven sections, and actually developed the beginning of the lesson, of this series, when I was down in North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for that deposition, for that money that we had, that the church had invested in. The guy ended up going to jail and all that. And I sat in a motel for, I don't remember how many days, several days, and this was really what occupied all my time. I had taken materials and really was studying for this, and it's just amazing how that seems like that was such a long time ago, and in a sense it was. So we are winding down. So it may be a month or so before we finish. And certainly if you have several have asked, well, are you taking ideas for the next series? And so we're kind of praying about that, thinking about that. All right, we are on number 4, talking about the rebellion. And we have, the Battle of Armageddon has taken place. The millennium, the restraint, of course, of the devil in the chain, chained up and thrown into the bottomless pit. That has taken place. The resurrection has taken place, one of them anyway. The resurrection that we talked about in Revelation 20 and verse 5, and the resurrection of life. And then, of course, there is a resurrection of death, which we'll talk about. Number 3, then the reign, 1,000-year reign. The millennium is what we call it. And just meaning a 1,000-year reign. And then the rebellion, it is after the 1,000 years have ended that Satan will be loosed. Again, we talked about this last week, the idea of several things that really, to me, stand out. Satan's not going to change, though he is chained up, though he is put in a bottomless pit. All these things have taken place, and yet he is not going to change. He's not going to... that'll reform. You can't reform him. He's not going to change. And then the second thing that I talked about is man can't change on his own. A 1,000-year millennium is going to be a proof that, you know, all these people say, well, the devil made me do it. You know, that was popular in the 70s. The devil, you know, it's all in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he is on the throne. We are priests and judges under him. We're rulers. We have authority. And we will see man be man, minus the devil. There will be sin. There will be, again, it will be you think of Israel. God said, I want to be your king. And Israel said, we don't want you as our king. Well, again, they like a man king because a man king is just as much a sinner as they are. And, you know, that works out real well. When God's king, he's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. And man, it just without the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, man can't change. Man won't change. And so, again, perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, but there would be those, well, the devil, you know, because Adam said the woman said the devil, obviously. We always want to blame someone. Well, there's nobody to blame after 1,000 years. Obviously, the devil is loosed then. And that's where we kind of ended last week talking about that. You know, man is a sinner. That's just all there is to it. And whether there's a devil or whether there's not, we find, you know, man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. We just are prone to wander and get in trouble. And went through Romans 3, verses 9 to 18. We'll not go through that again. It's not a pretty picture of what we are. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Again, the Word of God, it offends so many because it is perfect and it points out our imperfections very, very clearly. You know, about the time we think, you know what, I think I'm a pretty good fella. God shows me, well, no, you're really not. Hopefully you're growing. Hopefully you're becoming closer. But we certainly can get closer. But anyway, so these are things that, if you have to question, well, why 1,000 years? Why is the devil loosed again? Why not just go right into heaven? Well, again, the only thing I can think is it will wipe out every excuse of man as far as blaming somebody else. So what happens? Verse 8, Revelation 20 and verse 8. The Bible says, when verse 7 says, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He hadn't changed. He's just as hateful as ever, just as much a liar as ever. Man has now lived 1,000 years. Again, we don't know if people die during the millennium. Bible doesn't say. We don't know. We just know there are people. We know these people become more and more people, and those people are obviously sinners. We have to believe sin is taking place. We don't know how God is dealing with it. We do know people have to get saved. People, that's the only hope for any people ever. That's past people, that's present people, and that's future people. The only hope is to be saved. There is no other way. Jesus made that clear. And so the devil goes out. He shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Gog and Magog, of course, have always been tied in with Russia and the Russian influence. Here we have this influence of Gog and Magog is in the four quarters of the earth. That means we have the idea of it as worldwide influence of and again, it's not Russia. It is godlessness. Russia has always taken that stance. We've always seen that with Russia. It's a godless society, it's a thinking, it's a mentality that there is no God. We're seeing more and more people like that today. Well, there's no God. What's wrong with you? In fact, that almost seems to be the mentality in the United States of America anymore. We talk about God, we talk about the Lord and what the Lord might do, and there are thousands and millions of people that they look at you like, who? What are you talking about? We have generations now of children. What was it in the 60s and 70s when they took God out of the public schools and declared that illegal? And now we have so many generations of, you know, I remember in public school sitting in the gym on the bleachers before school started and having a devotional. That would have been in 65. All right. I remember them giving out little stickers, little Bible character stickers, and they had a little devotional in the public school in the elementary gym where I went to school. But I also remember when all of a sudden you don't talk about it anymore. All of a sudden nobody talks about God. All of a sudden we're not allowed to talk about God. And boy, we see the result of that. And there are children, there are people that have no clue about God in the United States of America. It's just unbelievable that it has gone that way. So don't be surprised about this Gog and Magog mentality, because man can eradicate the thought of God very quickly when they want to do their own thing. We're real good about that. I seriously, just spend a little time with a backslider. Well, don't really. Probably be better not to. But it's amazing how someone who used to serve God and love God and work for God can get away from God so far that, yeah, I don't even want to talk about that. Gog and Magog mentality and thinking is going to be very prevalent. It's going to be in the four quarters, which is the whole earth, actually. And Satan will go out and deceive, the Bible says. Again, it is in my mind, and we can have no way of knowing how this all transpires, but in my mind, I recognize there are people who, with their hearts, they are serving themselves and their sinfulness, but outwardly, because Jesus is the King of the world, they're maybe going through some motions. By the way, I've watched Christians do it all my ministry. I've seen Christians who outwardly, they are very spiritual looking, but inwardly, there's nothing. To be honest with you, if you want to recognize that you've had some days like that yourself. So it's not that hard to recognize, and it's not our place to point, well, that person, it's just, you just know that those things are going on. So again, this is going to be very easy for Satan to deceive. But the deception to me is going to be that somehow he will convince the people that what is in their hearts is the way it ought to be, and that he will help them to conquer God again, just like the Battle of Armageddon. Again, that's history. That's going to be in the history books. When Jesus is king and we're running the cities, guess what kind of schools we'll have? We'll have Christian schools. Amen? But again, just like in a Christian school, I can tell you this, many, many times we have people sitting and listening, but their hearts are somewhere else. The, you know, school system doesn't change a heart. Hello? I mean, it's just how it is. So there's all these people, the four quarters of the earth, within their hearts, there is nothing toward God. And Satan will come out and deceive. Don't know how he does it. You know, at that day, again, we're talking about at least 1,007 years from today. At least. You know how we get that, right? Everybody with me on that? How do you know that? I just know that. At least. I can say at least. It's going to be 1,007 years from today. I know that. So what kind of technology, what all will be available, you know, for him to spread his deceit? And obviously God's going to allow it because God's going to let him out. Remember the angel that put him there? Remember the big chain? God's in control of the whole situation. And instead of the devil coming out and falling on his knees and begging for mercy, he's going to go out and try to deceive man again. And we'll be there. We'll be involved. You know, I'll be the mayor of Maui or wherever. Probably end up on the Arctic Circle. But anyway, no, it's going to be good. It's all going to be good. But I'll be happy wherever it is. So these people, all these people that have, again, they're descendants of man, and so there's sinners, and they are going to be easily deceived, and I think deceived to think that they can conquer, they can beat God somehow, and so again, Jerusalem is involved, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Obviously, Jerusalem there is talked about. We have to believe that Jesus, he'll be on the throne in Jerusalem. King of David, King of the Jews, King of the world. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And during that millennial reign, we'll have communications. Wherever we are ruling and reigning, we'll obviously know that the devil is deceiving. He's on the internet. He's on TV. He's wherever. Deceiving people, will know they're getting their armies together. And of course, by that time, surely we'll all just trust him and know everything's okay. You know, we'll maybe the announcements as we recognize that all these enemy forces are gathering together, maybe on the Christian, that's really Christian radio, and TV, they'll be playing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and we'll all be singing and praising the Lord because it's all okay. Oh, there's an uprising. Well, God's got it under control. We'll still have our Bibles because it's eternal. Amen. So we'll have our Bible. We can just read it. Well, let's see here. It says here, it looks like it's that. By the way, we'll know when the 1,000 years are up then because we'll know when it starts. We'll have a point of reference to go by then. And we'll say, well, let's see here. It says here that we have the devil deceiving. Oh, that's what's going on. And, you know, maybe Dale Bowman will call me up and say, Brother Rogers, won't be any pastor then, as far as we know. Maybe it'll be Priest Rogers. And Priest Bowman, how you doing? And he'll call up and he'll say, remember Revelation class? 1,007 or so years ago. Yeah, I remember that. There's all kinds of negative stuff going on. It seems like the devil must be loose. Yeah, and then Sister Phyllis will call and say, oh, he's such a creep. Because he will still be a creep 1,007 years later. He's still a creep. And amen. And so here he comes. Priest Bowman will say, well, I remember verse 9 of Revelation 20. It says they went up on the breadth of the earth. In my city, they're all starting to rebel, and they've taken over all the weapons and everything they could, and they're headed to Jerusalem. And Sister Phyllis, she'll say, yeah, the old creep on CREEP.com, he's got everybody gathering toward Jerusalem. And then Priest Bowman will say, but it says here, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So I guess, Priest Rogers, we just need to kind of keep looking up. Amen. By the way, that's what we need to do now. Even though it's 1,007 years away from that, at least 1,000. I'm not predicting he's coming today. I'm just saying he could. It'd be a good day, wouldn't it? You say, yeah, but I want to get the meal, you know, for the mountain melt. Matt is leaving with bitterness because he put August down. so he's not really bitter. But, you know, I'll tell you what, if it would mean the Lord coming today, I'll get you a meal in heaven. Or in the millennium, you can come to Roger's Diner in my city where I'm a priest. And anyway, so we're, you say, you ought to write a book. People have. They really have. And so we know what's going to happen. I can tell you this. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do? Yeah. Yeah, the Lord's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in control. But I'm waiting on a test from the doctor. I'm waiting on to hear about my job situation. I'm waiting to hear, I'm keeping an eye on ISIS and all that kind of stuff. And I know. But honestly, we know what happens. Okay? We know what happens. God's got it all under control. He is not worried. And in fact, you know, here at the end of the millennium, there is no war, just like the Battle of Armageddon. Just says fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And I'm not sure we'll even, Brother Dale, wherever you're the mayor or the priest of whatever community it might be, could be Tecumseh maybe because of Vocker, and you know, I don't know. But wherever you happen to be, we may not have to leave where we are to even deal with it because they're all going to go gather, and I'll be there in Maui. I was going to say eating chocolate pie, barbecued ribs. Anyway, just fire from God. Fire from God, and he deals with it. And I can tell you it's very, very close then to being over. It's very, very close. Because there is a little business to take care of in verse 10. And the Bible says the devil, yeah, there he is again. By the way, this is it. That's the last we're going to hear about him. Amen? Yeah, yeah. www.creep is about to go offline. Amen? It's about to head offline. And the Bible says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night till he burns up. That's not what it says, is it? Till he cries for mercy? That's not what it says. It says forever and ever. Yeah. That's the end. That's what I've read. And so it is interesting. There are some interesting truths in here that I wanted to cover today, and these are the kind of things that get me in trouble. because it takes a little longer, but it is kind of a good thing to think about. It's interesting here in verse 10. Now, the best thing about that is he's gone. Done. Tormented. Day and night, forever and ever. That's good. But watch this. It says this. It says where the beast and false prophet are. Now, the beast is who? That should have been a thunderous roar of who's the beast? Do I have to start Revelation all over again? Who's the beast? It starts with an A. The Antichrist. Very good. Don't be shy. This is not time to be shy. All right? The Antichrist. All right? The beast is the Antichrist, and the false prophet is the... Who? He's the false prophet. That's all we know. He's just a false prophet. That wasn't even hard. Did you give a name? No, I wouldn't dare give a name. There's a whole bunch of false prophets around today. But the false prophet, here's the thing I want you to get, all right? Remember, because we've studied this now for years. The beast and the false prophet are human. They are people. The Antichrist is a people. The false prophet is a people. And what does the Bible say about them here? Somebody help me. And they are, we remember when they were thrown in there. Remember that? They were thrown in there, the Bible says, how? Alive. And they, it is where they, this is after at least 1,000, and well, from today anyway. I mean, this is after 1,000 years. And it's where they are. What's that mean? That means they didn't die. What's that mean? That means that they were thrown in alive, and they are still alive. Where? In a lake of fire. You hear people all the time, well, you know, when you die, you just die. That's not what the Bible says. I'm hearing some fundamentalists, and I don't even understand. They need to read their Bibles. I'm hearing people, you know, well, we kind of think that hell is just annihilation. There is nothing in Scripture that ever indicates that hell is annihilation. In other words, you're thrown in and you're gone. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere is there any indication of that. It is not scriptural to say that a person is annihilated. And here we have clear proof that these two, no question about it, after 1,000 years, it's where they are. It's where they are. Look at Matthew 25, verse 41. I just wrote down a couple of verses. There are many, many verses. Do you know, and I make reference to this sometimes, there is more in the Bible about hell. Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. Matthew 25 and verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and demons. It is everlasting fire. It does not go out. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If you believe in eternal life for the Christian, you cannot deny everlasting punishment for the lost. You cannot. I know it makes you feel better. I don't like everlasting hell. We are supposed to be uncomfortable with that. By the way, when I was lost, I was very uncomfortable with that. And I got saved. If you and I are not uncomfortable with an everlasting hell, how do we think we're ever going to convince those that are lost that they should be uncomfortable with an everlasting hell? Don't let it get watered down. Don't let somebody turn on the sprinkler system on hell, because it isn't going to happen. It is everlasting punishment, this place, hell. Jude 7, any chapter will do in Jude. How can he say that? Well, you'll see. Jude 7, we'll go to chapter 1. I'm trying to get some of you to actually smile today. It'll be okay. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of what kind of fire? Eternal fire. And we've studied it several times in Revelation. Revelation 14, 11 is where I want to go. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Again, that is disturbing. It's not something I like. It is not something that I'm comfortable with, but I shouldn't be comfortable, and neither should you. We should never be comfortable. Hey, I get to go to heaven, and well, too bad for them. That should never be comfortable for us, ever. It should really cause us to carry tracts everywhere we go. It should cause us to talk to people everywhere we go. It should cause us to be excited about a bus ministry, to be excited about soul winning, and that our church, we see people saved. We've seen people saved this year every week. Praise the Lord. And we should be excited about that, because it's one more soul that's not going to burn forever in hell. It should bother us. But it shouldn't bother us to where we try to change it, because it's true. I mean, seriously, it bothers us when we hear somebody has cancer. It bothers us when we hear somebody has some other disease. It bothered me when I heard that my mom had Alzheimer's disease. And I knew it was true, and I realized it. It bothered me. I mean, it did. But nope, it's not true. Nope, it isn't true. There's some things, the truth you can't deny. Ushers, we need you to come. And so, again, I think as we're all still alive here, there's a lot we can do. There's a lot we can do, and there's a lot we should do. It is why we're still alive. By the way, we are within $100 of paying for those buses. That is unbelievable. It really is. I think it was $3,250, I'll say later on. And we are within $100 with the commitments and what's come in. It'd be nice where I wouldn't have to say anything in the morning service if out of this class we had $100 come in. But, you know, somebody raised their hands and said, Pastor, I'll give so much. You know, I haven't had a part, got to do that yet. But anyway, I tried that with the deacons yesterday, but it didn't work. So we will get that $100. I know we will. All right. Oh, yes. Huh? The $100? But you're a missionary. You don't have any money. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? Got our $100 from a missionary. Amen. And many others. Don't get me wrong. I look at the list and I know people that sign their name that don't have what they pledged. They will pray it in. I love that. That's how we ought to live. You know, we shouldn't look at our accounts and say, well, I can afford this. Do what you can't afford. Let him take care of it. Oh, you say, you know, I was just ready to raise my hand. You know what? I'd venture to say if you gave toward the bus ministry, it'll be okay. We'll let you do it. We won't send your money back. I would also venture to say we have a couple other projects coming up, so hold on to that. Well, go ahead and put that in and pray for more. Anyway, Let me close off point number four so we can move into point five next week. When Satan is cast into the lake of fire, he's not the king. He's not the prince of the power of the lake of fire. He's not in control anymore. Do you understand? The Bible says he is tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, how he must enjoy the people that worship him. How he must enjoy the rock concerts where they really give glory. I mean, he is, you know, the anointed cherub. He's the music, you know, the angel of music. And he's corrupted music so bad. We thought heavy metal was the worst, and then we got rap. Honestly, I mean, it has gone. And be careful now, you know, don't, you know, we've got a whole bunch of people that, darling, you left me again. Wow, that's out of hell too, just as much as all the rest of it. Whiskey and wild women and all that kind of stuff, it's just as out of hell. And I mean, we've got young people, and he's enjoyed it, hasn't he? He's loved all that worship. I got news for you. In the lake of fire, where he is tormented forever and ever, there will be no worship for him. That might be the biggest part of his torment. Oh, the creep of pride. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to make some of you smile today, honestly. You say, yeah, but you just sang my favorite song. I don't know that that is a song. It's one that I've because we have a lot of Christians. When I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, I had Christians. Yeah, that rock music's wicked and heavy metal's bad. But I sure love my country and Western. Bless God. And I said, well, you know, let me just show you some of these words that maybe aren't exactly what we ought to be singing to glorify God. Oh. Anyway,